I remember a story of David and George lived in this posh area of Surrey. They were tic-tac men. Do you call it when you look horse race or derby, you know, people, and they ride down 10 to 4. Then I don't know how they do it. They're very, very, very interesting. So two tic-tac men, David and George, lived in Surrey. And they're filthy rich, plenty of money. Gave a lot of money for charity. But they never went to church. One day, they were playing golf. David had a heart attack and fell down on the golf course. And he was taken for the first time into a parish church in Surrey. And the vicar gave a terrific sermon. What a good man David was. How much money he spent for charity. I wish I could meet him when he died. And then, you know, in the Anglican setup. And in this is, may his soul rest in peace. And did the sign of the cross. And George broke into tears. So his friend asked, why are you crying? Didn't the vicar give a tremendous sermon? Yes, I know. He had no hope. Why? How do I... Next? Okay. No, it's not going up. Here it is. The vicar said, may his soul rest in peace. Why? Why are you crying? And he said, the vicar said, may his soul rest in peace, 100-1 against. Complete misunderstanding with what the vicar said and what George thought. He said, you know, Christianity is one of the most misunderstood subjects in the world today. Very, very misunderstood. You know, I thought every time a Christian converts a Hindu, you got a chalk marker up in heaven. And I had no idea until I began to read the Bible. Because if you're a Hindu, your children are automatically Hindus. If you're a Muslim, if you're a Buddhist. But if you're a Christian, your children are automatically Christians. See, they have to make up their mind. God doesn't force people to do that. So 98% of the people in Kerala, where I come from, they are Christians, we call them Christians, are nominals. So one look at them, you don't want to be a Christian at all. See, when Jesus came, it's the religious people who crucified him. If he comes today, the bishops will crucify him. I've been a member of the governing body of the Church of England for 35 years. I know many bishops don't even believe Jesus is God. Oh, they're very good men. Very clever. Oxbridge. Easy to get along with. They love... But they don't... They have no idea what the gospel is all about. So... Jesus said, religion doesn't get you to God. Religion doesn't get you to God. I think again, you know, like people have got great misunderstanding about... I was in the General Synod for 35 years. When George Carey, Dr. Carey was in the Archbishop. I sat under five archbishops. We were in York, a big 600 people in the York University auditorium. 250 clergy elected every 5 years, 250 lay people, 43 bishops. And then the 10 bishops elected, and the Dr. Carey was speaking. And he was saying, he just made a joke like, I was going home one day, and I passed my friend's vicarage. So I thought I'll go and say hello, have a cup of coffee in the morning, you know, and biscuit. So he said, this is exactly what he said. Went and knocked at the door. There was no reply. Knocked at the door again. There was no reply. He could see there's some voice. So being his friend, he took his visiting card and wrote Revelation 3:20. Sorry. Other way. Revelation 3:20 said, here am I. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in. And there was no reply, so he went home. And the next day, he had a letter from the vicar's wife. Funny, you opened it up, there was a visiting card. Funny, so he looked at the other side, and it's written down, Genesis 3:10. I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Well, when I gave up religion, when I began to follow Jesus, I gave up religion. When I began to read the Bible. Why? Because I found out that religion is a man trying to find God. There's nothing wrong in religion. Religion is a man's search for God. Hinduism, Islam, Buddhism, Sikhism, or churchianity. Going to church, being baptized, being confirmed, being ordained if you want to, being a bishop. They're all trying to find God. And what you find that when religion is man trying to find God, real Christianity is like God climbing down that ladder in order to find me. God is seeking me. In other words, real Christianity is finding God in Christ and building our relationship with Him. God seeking the lost man to give him the gift of life. Now, there's so much misunderstanding. Let me tell you another. In a nursery school class, the teacher was exploring the children's notion of God. And she asked Tommy, six-year-old Tommy, you know, Tommy, who is God? So six-year-old Tommy followed his bros and thought for a moment or two about the question. Suddenly he brightened with a smile. I think he's a man who saved the queen. Complete misunderstanding. What actually it is, and Christianity is one of the most misunderstood subject, even in England, because God becomes unreal to us when we live our life without reference to Jesus, because Jesus is God. Jesus is God. John 1:17-18. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. And when I was reading after that, reading the Bible, carrying on, and I was reading Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, there is written, Christ is the visible likeness of the invisible God. In other words, all we need to know about God is in Jesus Christ. All we need to know about God. And that's why, I mean, when I start reading the Gospel of John, you get to know God, not know about God. I've brought a Gospel of John. If you have to talk to a Hindu about Christianity, give him a Gospel of John. And if you've got a Muslim, give him Luke, because a mighty prophet, you know, born of a virgin. And if you want to know a Jew, give a Matthew's Gospel. That's where you start. All the fulfillment of the Old Testament, fulfilled. And if you've got a businessman, Mark. Great. You know, like who Jesus is, what he came to do, what he expects of you. Now, when I began to, I've written down here, if I give you all that I have and not shared with you what's in this book, I've given you nothing. But if I give you this book and nothing else, I've given you everything. There are a few copies there. If you wanted to, you can take one free. Only thing is that you should read it. Don't put it in the bookshelf. there is enough copy if you wanted to. So, our understanding of God. Religion looks to God in abstract. But in Christ, we see him a person who is alive today. Jesus is alive. And he is the giver of life to anyone who comes to him in repentance and faith. So my life is completely transformed. Completely transformed. Now, do people ask me, don't all religions lead to God? Yeah, all religions lead to God. Hindus believe that. All religions, Muslims believe that. But if you're a Hindu, Jesus said, all religions lead to God. Did you know that? Matthew 25:31-32. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. You will be there, I will be there, the Hindus and the Muslims and the Buddhists, everybody live will be in front of him. And he will judge one from another. before him, and he'll be gathered, and he will separate people one from another, and shepherds separate the sheep from the goats. In other words, Hindus believe, all religions believe, when you die, you meet God in the throne of judgment. God will judge you. No problem. That's what Hinduism says. Not we say, they say that. But when Jesus said, if you belong to him, you meet him on the throne of grace. You meet him on the throne of grace. But to those who follow Jesus, he promises us, that's his promise, that we will meet him on the throne of grace. Now, Vijay is V-I-J-A-Y. Victory in Jesus, always yours. It means that. Jain in Hindu, in Indian, is victory. V means absolute. Vijay means absolute victory. Because my father put, he didn't know that I'll be a Christian one day. But he's the third person in the five brothers. He's always victorious. Now, grace, you meet him with, what does the grace mean? G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, my son, he's an associate minister in St. Debs, Suresh, under Warren Roberts. Now, the Church of England don't pay him that much. You know, suppose if he got a lot of money, want a little money, so he goes and tries to rob a bank. And he's caught. Go to the courtroom. If I'm the judge, I can't say, well, never mind, I know your circumstances, don't do it again. So I'll be right with it. I have to give a maximum punishment, 6 months jail or £67,000 fine. I've done my duty as a judge. Well, I can go to the prison, take my checkbook, and write £67,000, sign it, and give it to him. I've been just in giving him maximum punishment, and my grace is I took the punishment on myself. So the check is the most insignificant illustration I could find as a Hindu that God has done. He can forgive me and took the punishment on himself. This is the most insignificant. You know, anybody can be crucified. But he took the punishment I deserve. It's incomprehensible. My sins, your sins. Only God could do that. And he said, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? And that agony. And that's why I love him. That's why I love him. So, understanding God, our approach to God. For everyone, God is your judge. Religion tells a man must face God as a judge. But in Christ, we meet him as our Savior. So there's only two ways to live. You're either a religious person or you're a real Christian. Now, religion could be anything. Hinduism, Islam, atheism, Confucianism, Buddhism. See, isms. You know, ism. But Christianity is following a person. See? Well, what is the difference? If you're religious, you're under the law. But if you're a Christian, you're under grace. Now, when I remember Simon Clegg, he's the managing director of ABN AMRO. He was, you may like me. And he asked me, what happened if I sin? So I took my watch out and I showed him, now this is metal. You drop it in water, it will sink. Because the nature of the metal to sink in water. The nature of man to say no to God. This is our nature. But if I tie to a wooden, like a metal, I didn't become a sinner because I sin. I sin because I am a sinner. But if I tie to a wooden cross and put it in water, it'll float. Still a metal, I'm still a sinner. But saved under grace. It's under gravity, but the cross is there. See? It's still under gravity. I'm still a sinner. Until I go back to the Lord again, I give me a new body. I will come to that in a minute. You're under the law, but you're under grace. Religion says live by a code. But Christianity is a relationship. I gave up religion, but real Christianity is a loving and living relationship with a just and loving God, and you know him. Religion says make a new start. Pull up your socks. Jesus says, I'll give you a new heart. When I became a Christian, I was in the center. The whole universe revolved around me. But when Jesus came into my life, he took my heart and turned it around. It's not easy, you know. Now I'm more concerned with my responsibility and your rights than my rights and your responsibility. Everybody talking about my rights. What about your responsibility? See, only God could do that for you. I'm more concerned about my responsibility and your rights. And only God could do that. Then religion says again, turn a new leaf. Jesus says, I'll give you a new life. I never enjoyed life until I began to follow Jesus, read the Bible. And I can fool everybody, but you can't fool yourself. And Jesus said, John 10:10, the thief come only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that you may have life and have it to the full. I never enjoyed life until I began to follow Jesus Christ. I was afraid to die. Kick the bucket in no time. And you know where you're going. Religion condemns me. Look at the Ten Commandments. I can't do it. And when you say, don't do it, I want to do it. And do you know, it's a misquotation. You would find in the church, I don't know whether you got it, in the Ten Commandments, you shall not, I shall not, you shall not, return. You look at it, so like it's like a ladder going up to heaven. But what they forget is the Exodus 1 and 2. See, in the 1 and 2 says, you are my people, I brought you out of slavery from Egypt, this is how you should live. It's not a ladder to go to. It's a plan. It talked to me about God, how holy God is. And I thank God for the Ten Commandments. Because I thought everybody, I never knew. Because of the commandments, he's my friend. When I do something wrong, I realize I've done wrong. It drives me to the cross. Lord, have mercy on me. So religion condemns me. Christ acquits me. Now, how do you spell religion? D-O. Do. Any religion. How do you spell real Christianity? D-O-N-E. Done. Everything that is needed for any one of us to be with God and absolutely sure has already been done. On the cross. It's been done. So, our understanding of God, our approach to God, religion tells me that man must face God as a judge. But in Christ, our understanding of God, our relationship with God. Religion relate to God as their creator, full stop. But in Christ, we meet him as our Father. As our Father. So for God to be a real Father, you have to be born into God's family. You must be born again, Jesus told Nicodemus. And 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, it's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. If anyone is, it's a new creation. I'm not a patched up Hindu. I'm a new creation. I'm completely different. And you know it. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, have you got a whole picture? Have you got the whole picture? Some Christians, I mean, you may be Christian, but have you got the whole picture? Let me show you a picture. Now, here is a man and his best friend. My wife is my best friend. She buy all my clothes, you know, my tie and my handkerchief. She said, don't bring the rubbish here. I said, she's my best friend. Now, what happened if you look at the other side? Quite different, isn't it? Jesus Christ is the way to God for everyone. Did you know Christians have no monopoly over Jesus? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So you have got one of those sheets. Can you take that one? If you haven't got, put your hand up there. I've got quite a few. I've got about 80 of them. And turn around. Turn it out. If you got it, just take it. Page 3. Anybody who hasn't got, will you put your hand up? Anybody who has, they've got one for each person. Just. On the page 3, if you got it, on the page 2, it says, does a good Hindu go to heaven? There's only one God. You can have a look at it. And if you look at the picture on the other side, a good Hindu lost in his sin. You can't come and see God. But when you turn around, it's changed a difference. When people ask me, why is it everybody? Why is the lack of universality? Although the number of those who have reported religious experience is high, it does not include the entire human race. There's also fine people who frankly testify to the absence of experience of God in their life. What is the meaning of the negative evidence? And it explains to you there. But you can take it home and read it. But I want to tell you why. You can tell you what the Bible is, why I believe the Bible is word. Then why I believe Jesus is God. That's all the verses in the Bible pointing to. If the Jesus is not, the Bible is a lie. So if you turn around again, the page 6. Jesus claimed to be God. There are two alternatives. Either his claims were false or it is true. If it is false, he's evil. If it is true, if he didn't know he's a lunatic. He's a madman. But if it is true, his claims were true, then he is Lord and God, and we have got two options, either accept it or reject it. We are free. Even when the rich man came to him, fell at his feet, Father, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said, why do you call me good? See, only God is good. Are you calling me God? Are you calling me God? The question itself is wrong. I can't inherit anything unless I'm your family. See? I can't inherit Stephen, your vicar's all the money that you may have, however small it may be. You know, like, I have to be in the family. And that when he told him, sell everything and follow me, Jesus loved him, even though he ran away. See, he loved him, even though he left him around. So the pictures are here on it, and you turn around, and page 8a. There are a few verses I want to share with you in the short time I have. Why? What real Christianity I found from the Bible. So John 3:16-17. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, when I read it, I saw what he doesn't say. My brother pointed out to me, look, Christians are arrogant, aren't they? No. You don't know what it says. You look at it. See, God so loved the world that he didn't say God so loved the Christians that he gave his only son. The doer come to Christchurch, Virginia waters and give all the money away. Should not marry. He doesn't say that, does it? God so loved the world. Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists. That whoever come to him. Whoever. Believe. Not believe in. Believe. Live by. Come in repentance and faith. Have mercy on me. And he died for them. That he, you know, if you look at it, another thing I was so excited was the second part of verse 17, item 1, John 3:17. For God sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now Jesus never said, hey, you never went to church, never read the Bible. He didn't say, you know, I know all about you, Vijay, what a stupid idiot you are. The man I made a mess of my life, he came to pick up the pieces. Start my life where I come to him. You know, if you do not know Jesus, you don't know what you're not living properly. You know? Oh, what a wonderful it is. For me, to be threatened with death is to be threatened with heaven. Because in the Bible, promise you, there'll be no pain, no suffering, no electricity bill, no race, no wife. No. There's no sin. For God sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that is why Isaiah 59 verse 2. Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins are hid from you. That he does not hear. See? And also another thing. Let me share with you. God's arms are open to everyone who comes to him in repentance and faith. Isaiah 49 verse 15. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. The highest human relationship you would find between two human beings is a mom feeding the baby, isn't it? You can give anything to mom to drop that baby, she will do it if she's sane. Even that mother may drop that baby, I will not reject you. And that is why I've engraved you on the palm of my hand. I said, what does that mean? You know, I couldn't understand. So I always, show me. And one day I realized, well, I don't leave my palm at home and go to the office. My palm is ever in front of me. You and I are ever in His presence. There's nothing happens in our life that He doesn't know. And then you will say, why is it I'm in a problem? Why is the difficulties? Why am I in a problem like this? Why God is too far away? Well, look at the next verse. Item 2. Isaiah 59 verse 2. Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hid His face from you so that He does not hear. You know, the situation was like this. As a Hindu, I was on one side and God was on the other side. I was separated from God because of my sin. Now, sin is not lack of British respectability. This is S-I-N, I in the center. Or I will tell a bishop, God, G-O-D, S-O-N, Son. Jesus. Now, if you take God out of Son, sin. Take Jesus out of God, let God out of Jesus. Sin, S-I-N, me first. And it doesn't stop there. Look at the next verse, item 3, Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. The Archbishop have sinned. The Pope have sinned. Now, your rector, you think is a holy man. Stephen. If you can go into his heart, think what he thinks. He's one of the worst sinners in Seven Sisters in this area. You know why? Because I'm 10 times worse than him. If my wife knew what I've been thinking in the last 7 days, I'm telling you honestly, without any, the Lord knows, if my wife knew what I've been thinking in the last 7 days, she'll divorce me on the spot. Having committed adultery, never thought about divorce. Murder many times. You know. If I found my wife, I would have divorced myself 10 times. We all have sinned. You take a big tank, a little poison, the whole tank is poisoned. Isn't it? Put a cup full of poison, still is poisoned. See, if you want to be with God, complete, you have to take all the failures, sinless, to be in the presence of God. All have sinned and fall short of the... But it doesn't stop there. Let's read the next item, item 623. The wages of sin is death. Tinker, tailor, rich man, poor man, everybody has to die. Do you know death is one of the most democratic things in this country? Nobody can get out of it. We all have to kick the bucket one day. 10 out of 10 die. But the free gift of God is eternal life. What God has done for me is He built a bridge from His side. From His side so that I can get to God today. Now, how did He build the bridge? Look at the next item, item 5 in our sheet, 1 Peter 3:18. Christ also died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, made alive in the Spirit. He made alive in the Spirit. In other words, He covered my failures on the cross. He covered. We all will die one day in this body. He covered. There were many covered, forgiven, forgotten, washed away, removed, blotted out. So when any religious, when as a Hindu, my Hindu religion says, when I die, God will open the book. Everything written down. And God won't condemn me. Just take a video, DVD. Suppose you say, let's say I'm a Christian now. Why I gave up religion? Because if I die tonight and go in front of God, God tell the angel, bring Vijay Menon on DVD. Take it out. Sir, it's absolutely blank. There's nothing in it. See, take the worst video nasty from Soho or from London, you know, like, and bring it here and ask Stephen, put a magnet on top of it, all wiped off. Just as if you never recorded it. God washed away, the blood of Christ washed away the sins. So when I get to God, there will be a great welcome. Because my sins are gone. I am one of the children of God. See, for Christ died for sins once for all. The righteous for the unrighteous. That He might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh. Made alive in the Spirit. And that is why nothing I can give to God. To get from here to here. Look at the next verse. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's a gift of God. not because of works, lest any man should boast. I tried to build bridges, religion, meditation, yoga, going to the temple, helping my poor. There's not one bridge anywhere in the world built from God's side for any man can come to meet God because his sin will be washed away if you tell him, Lord, have mercy on me. The Pharisee and the tax collector. Pharisee said, everything what is right. I fast twice a week, only have to fast once a week. I gave one-tenth of my straight from his bank, went into the treasury. But the tax collector said, Lord, have mercy on me. One prayer God cannot refuse. Lord, have mercy on me. And that is why, look at the next verse. Item 7, John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from to life. You know, when I read that, I nearly jumped out of the chair. Passed. You know, I had to sit my honors degree exam. It made such a mark. I used to get nightmares. I'm running to an examiner's room. I can't remember a formula. In my agony, I wake up. I'm in my bedroom. No final exam. You and I, if we belong to Jesus, we have no final exam. We are straight into his presence. No, passed from death to life. Now. And that is why, what difference made? Look at item 8. 1 John 5:11 and 12. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his son. He who has the son has life. He who has not the son of God has not life. What is this life Jesus would give to a Hindu? Look at the next item. Item 9. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. If anyone is in Christ, is a new creation. Now, what does that mean? If you look at the last page, but one, page 9, it gives me a picture. I believe we'll go quickly through it. You know, the new life, Nicodemus, John 3:1-8. You can take it home and read it properly. You know, Nick came at night because if the other Pharisees would have known Nicodemus was going to Richard, they would have, to Jesus, they would have lynched him because they want to kill Jesus. Came at night. And said, I know you're a man come from God. I know he accepted the miracles Jesus is doing. But Jesus said, cut it out, Nick. Don't try to patronize me. You can't even see the kingdom. And Jesus was right. Here is Nick, Pharisees on the top of the Sanhedrin. And should have known all the Old Testament. Jesus is not a man come from God. He's God the Son. The second person in the Trinity. He had no idea. So what does that mean? Unless you're born again. No, I can't go back to my mother's womb. You know, he should have known. Look at the last verse in the Ezekiel 36, 25 and 26. I will sprinkle clean water on you. You shall be clean. I will cleanse you and I'll give you a new heart, a new spirit I'll put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your heart, from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. See? You must be born of water and the Spirit. And I have to ask, show me, Lord, how can I explain to a Hindu? How can I explain this? You know what happened? I'll tell you. I'll show you. I went and nicked a couple of eggs from my wife's fridge. The three of them here, they are real eggs from Tesco. They are battery eggs from electrical chicken hangers. You know? 37 million eggs are produced every week in this country. 37 million is statistic. Because they're chicken hangers, electrical, they lay the egg and they gather them together. If a hen sit on it, it won't produce a chick. Because they're not fertilized. So I don't know, you might know some, Hayden Williams, I will do one-to-one with him. He's a GP. He worked for Harpenden, Christchurch Harpenden, where the Gareth Lewis's lays. I do want to, and when I went to his, I mean, nearly half the way, and I understood that he got chicken in the bag. So I said, give me my one chicken. I'm going to Christchurch, Virginia Waters. I want to show them something. So he gave me another egg. You know, you can see it's different. How do I know this one? I put a cross on it. See? If a hen sit on it, only that egg will produce a chick. Because of life in it. So if you want to say, when I was a Hindu, my soul was like a battery egg. When Jesus came in my life, he became like a free-range egg. And it explained in the next verse, I haven't got the time, 1 Corinthians 15, 42 to 49. See, he talks about the natural man and the spiritual man. So will it be the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown is perishable. It's raised imperishable. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. When a person is born, his body is natural. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it's written that the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit, Christ. The spirit did not come first, but the natural. So you're born as a natural person. The first man was from the dust of the earth, Adam, when he disobeyed God. He chased from the presence of the Lord. His soul died, separated from God. The second man is from the heaven. So also there are those who are of heaven. And just as we are born in the likeness of earthly man, I've got a mind, I can think, I'm rational, I can choose, I'm moral, I can pray intelligently, I'm spiritual, I can love, you're social. But when Adam disobeyed God, his mind was darkened, will is enslaved, love is corrupted, soul is dead. So a moral reformation can't do. Going to church doesn't help you. Of course, it helps you, but that itself won't help you. You can go and sit in the garage, it doesn't make you calm. See, you need to be born of God, spiritual life. Just as we are born of the likeness of earthly man, Adam, in the fallen state, we shall bear the likeness of the man from heaven. So the eternity starts now. Life now. Body is dying, but my soul is alive. And that is why, if anyone chooses to do God's will, you'll find out whether my teaching comes from God, whether I speak. When God put his spirit in my heart, when you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit opens up. The spirit, flesh is no avail, the spirit that gives life. The word I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. See, unspiritual man cannot understand the things of the spirit because they're foolish. So let me carry on. Will you come back to our passage? What difference did it make? Page 7, all the writing. We come to the item 10. John 1, 12 and 13. To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, not because I am a Jewish by birth, nor of a human decision, not because I decide to be a Christian, or a husband's will, not because my parents are Christians, but born of God. Now, how did I allow myself to be born of God? Look at that now, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and with me. I'll germinate your soul. You'll be the temple of my spirit. I will dwell in you. You'll be alive to me. And you know it. See, my time is rushing away. I was in Cambridge, Saffron Walden. And there was a very lively week. Invited me. There are 25 people, non-Christians, there. Because 25 Christians invited 25 non-Christians. And he came to me after. How are you so sure? He came and asked me, he's a lovely brother of mine. How are you? We just so sure. As sure as the sugar is sweet. Have you got a problem with sugar is sweet? Because I tasted them. I said, brother, I give a mango from India. You never seen a mango. I said, oh, what's it, mango? What is it, sweet? Oh, you put it in your fruit basket. The bishop comes tomorrow. Oh, that mango, I went to Tesco, horrible. Now for you, it's a bishop word and my word. But you tasted it, you know it. You know it. And how did I allow him? Look at item 11, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Of course, this is written for the church in Ephesus. But it's a promise to anyone. See, anyone who comes and opens the door, I will come in. I will germinate your soul. You'll be the temple of my spirit. I will dwell in you. What difference does that make? You put your whole weight on the cross. What is the cost? Put your whole weight on the cross. Trust the cross completely. You can't cross the bridge unless you put your whole weight. What does that mean, putting the whole weight on the cross? for it. Come in. How do I put the whole weight on the cross? Luke 9:23. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up the cross, follow me. See, I come to him as a guest. He comes into me as a guest. But when he comes in, he becomes the host. He turns the table and he becomes the host. He becomes the host. So three things I had to do. If Jesus said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up the cross daily, follow me. Deny self means not me first, but Jesus first. Not I, but number one, Jesus in my life. Deny. You have to deny something to do something. And take up the cross, exactly the same, to die for self. See, if you want to pass the, you have to die for the television if you want to pass the exam. If you want a lovely figure, you have to leave the creamy cakes. Lovely figure. Die for self to live for Christ. Follow me. When respond to his love. What happened if I would have said no? Well, fear not that your life shall come to an end. Rather fear it may never have a beginning. You will die with your soul as a dead as a battery egg. My time is up. I must conclude. Now, how do I know? Paul will tell you. If you take the last of the page, the last side of the last page, what does one respond to the God's invitation? Well, how do I know? Suppose you are born again. How do I know? I've been baptized. I love the Lord. How do we cross the line? The three questions you can consider, not to tell me, but to yourself. Help you to clear about what you're doing or where you stand. Each question has got three answers. Yes? Not sure? No. Don't tell me. You have to answer it yourself. Do you really understand and believe that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the basic of your salvation? Do you believe that? Do you understand it? Do you understand it? Do you really understand and believe? You can say yes, not sure, no. The next question is, you have to ask yourself, are you prepared to follow him, whatever the consequence might be? Is it Matthew 8, 34-38, also Luke 9. Put your whole weight on the cross. Trust the cross completely. You can say yes. Well, I'm not sure. No, my brother-in-law, my wife's brother says, the first say yes. The second one says, I'm not sure. Well, then you have to read the Bible and find out about it. Will you cross the line now? Is another question for you. Now, if you are unable to answer yes to all the questions, you probably need further help. You have to ask somebody, fill in the form, and you see Christianity, if you've got one life, what is there to do? Because if I ask myself, if I die tonight, where would I spend the rest of eternity? So if your answer is yes, or if your answer is no, you need help. You better Stephen or Paul and join the Christianity Explored and find out for yourself. Well, if your answer is yes, all three questions, the next step is to tell God about it. I'm not asking you to pray, because he says, Vijay asked me to. I want you and God. I had a complete atheist confirmed from South Africa a few months ago. I explained that all to him. Look here, Warren Copenhagen, I'm not asking you to pray. You go home and think about it. 7:30 a telephone call for me. And he said, what is an Isaiah verse? What is this? Well, I'm explaining to my wife. And I couldn't. So I explained to him. 10 o'clock, he rang me again. Vijay, will you teach me to pray? So come on a Tuesday weekend. This Monday, Tuesday, come along. And I said, did you ask your prayer? Did you pray about it? You know, 7:30, after talking to my wife, I went to bed. I said, God, if you're there, show me. And he woke up at 10 o'clock with such conviction. God opened his eyes. What a stupid fool I've been. Look at the universe. Look at the Milky Way. I don't want you to pray. You have to pray for you. You have to between you and God. And you can take the Gospel of John and think about it. Find a quiet place and reflective and sincere and say, Lord Jesus, I've broken your commandments. Don't you agree? I haven't even lived up to my own standards. Don't you agree? I know that you died on the cross for me to take my disobedience, God, away. That's what the Bible says. I want to hand over my sins to you. Do you? I open the door of my heart to you. What do we do when we open our heart? The three things happens. Come in as a Savior to cleanse me, to wash my DVD, blood of Christ. Come in as my Lord to control me. He becomes my master. And come in as my friend to be with me. That he becomes my friend. He's my brother. I want to serve you. I can say I never say I will. I want to, Lord. Help me. Even every day I say, Lord, I want to love you. Will you help me?